Hey, hey, everybody. Kevin here with Pursuing Pixels, and welcome back to another edition of Save It for the Cast. And as always, I'm going to get us started with a few indie game recommendations that I've been really enjoying and digging into as of late before John Randall and I get into the chit-chat and whatnot. And we're kind of all over the map this week with some chit-chat, gaming-related and otherwise. But yeah, we have a nice, fun discussion here coming up in just a minute. But before we get to that, I did want to give a shout-out, like I said, to a couple of games that I've really been kind of sinking my teeth into lately. And one of those games is actually a demo. And that game is called Undergrave, and it's a really awesome, like, turn-based tactics, puzzle-y. Like, it really actually reminds me a lot of a game called Evertried. I can't remember. I know I brought that up on the podcast in the past, and I can't remember if it was on a Save It for the Cast episode or a regular podcast episode, but I really like these, like, turn-based roguelike tactics games that are definitely turn-based tactics strategy games, but that feel more puzzle-y in their gameplay. And it's not that there's like a scripted solution by any means in either of these games, but there is like kind of, you know, you learn all the enemy patterns and their behaviors and how they might react to what you do and whatnot. And in both Evertried and Undergrave, but Undergrave again is just out in demo form at the moment. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that at the top, but I'm not 100% sure. And I've really enjoyed some other games from this developer as well. I'm pretty sure I mentioned Red Ronin and Raven's Hike on the podcast in the past. And I actually, being that we just talked about some grappling hook games on the podcast, I went back and played Raven's Hike all the way through. I had only played kind of the first like chapter and a half, and I think there's like five chapters in the game, or four chapters and like kind of like a final like climactic. And I really love these like action, like this is more like an action-y take on like the Sokoban puzzle format, like kind of more similar to Cyber Protocol, where you're basically pressing up, down, left, or right, and then you're firing off your grappling hook in whatever direction you press, and like it'll hit a wall or whatever it hits and kind of pull you in that direction, but you can cut that off at any point in time by firing your grappling hook in a different direction. And it's just like a really, it gets like actually really precision heavy. Like it definitely feels more like a precision platformer than a Sokoban game more often than not. But really, really loved my time with that game. It has a really, really stellar soundtrack. And then again, back to Undergrave, really no exception on the soundtrack. Again, it is just a demo form, but it really, or it's just a demo at the moment, but it really like does a great job of setting the mood and all like the sound effects. But basically, I've seen a lot of people calling the gameplay for Undergrave like chess 2.0, and I wouldn't quite go that far, but it definitely, again, the reason I brought up Evertried is because it does have that like every single move, every single, even just moving, you know, not just like your decisions were. So basically the gameplay boils down to you're like this single character that has like this giant sword that you can either throw, or you can like do like a dash where you can kind of like dash through enemies and like, you know, you'll end on a spot. You have like a range of movement and whatnot that you can see with the different tiles. It's like a grid based tile system, but you can throw your sword kind of, again, it has like a limited range, but you can throw it on like a diagonal or, you know, at various angles, pretty much 360 degrees, I think, as long as there isn't like a wall in the way or some kind of obstacle in the way or another enemy or whatever. And then you can also do a jump, which you can do, I think, with your sword, or you can actually do without your sword, and you can jump a little further when you don't have your sword in your hand. And then there's like little cool ways that the mechanics interplay. Like if you land right on the sword, you get like a double knockback if there's enemies right next to you or whatever. But again, the reason I brought up Evertried is because the way that you kind of recharge your action points is by just making regular movements. So one, you know, single space tile movement, and that's it. So if you do any of your other abilities, like throwing the sword, jumping with or without the sword, or dashing or whatever, anything else uses action points, and then the only other way to recover them is just by making single movements. But again, these enemies are like, it only in the demo here seems to be just like the first world of levels, but it's a decent chunk of levels, and you get some upgrades along the way, whether it's like increase the throw range of your sword or your jump range, or maybe it's a full heal. I'm not really 100% sure. I haven't even made it to like the boss of the first zone in the demo, but I'm really, really enjoying my time. Like it feels so polished already. Again, I mean, I'm just going to be happy to see like when there's more to the game, I guess, but if I'm even able to make it past the opening bits, cause yeah, it is definitely hard. And it is like, there are many situations where I made like just literally just one movement, one tile, and I'm just like, oh, I fucked up that whole stage, or maybe not completely ruined it, but like, man, I just took like 5 points of damage when, you know, if I would have just attacked or jumped out of the way or whatever, if I just would have made like one different decision, I could have salvaged that run a lot better. But I'm really enjoying how, like, I don't know, I'm as much as I enjoyed playing Raven's Hike and getting like that edge of my seat action kind of feeling, I'm really enjoying playing a game that like still has that difficulty to it, but definitely has a more leisurely pace to it, if you will. Like, you can really just take as much time as you want with the game being turn-based. And then I did just want to give another shout-out. I know we've done some shout-outs in the past for some of the bundles that have come across the itch.io platform or website or whatever you want to call it over the years. And yet again, the indie game community is coming together. I believe Brandon Sheffield of Necrosoft, I want to say. I know they made Gunhouse, the game. But they got together once again with this massive bundle on itch.io for to help out the people in Ukraine at the moment. And there's almost 1,000 games in the bundle as of the time of recording this, which is Sunday the 13th. They're a little over $4.5 million raised. You know, we talked about the bundle for racial justice and equality in the past. They also have did a Palestine bundle last year as well. They've done I think I've bought like 5 or 6 bundles over the last few years, and it just feels so cool to be able to not only see all these indie developers coming together to raise money and do what they can, but I once again, to just like, I don't know, it just feels so great to support these games. And to give a quick shout out, and I think I'm probably going to get around to talking about this on the podcast a little more at some point, but I did want to give a shout out to the game Zero Ranger, which if you're a fan of bullet hell shoot 'em ups, you're probably familiar with this game, and it's one that's been on my like to playlist for the longest time. And for whatever reason, like I know I've talked about it on the podcast before, that really that itch.io bundle for racial justice and equality was a big thing that got me into playing games on my PC. But up until then, Zero Ranger was like one of those games that I was like, I knew it existed and I knew it was on PC and I probably was never going to play it, you know, or waiting for it to get ported to consoles or whatever. But it was one of the first games that caught my eye that was in the bundle for Ukraine. So I dove right in, and man, is it worthy of the hype. I am in love with this game. Like, the music is just phenomenal. It almost has like these like epic, like almost like Squaresoft, like, you know, Super Nintendo, like Final Fantasy. Like, it's got a different energy. Like, there's a little more adrenaline pumpingness to the music that's happening. But like, I really, really am enjoying every aspect of the game. It takes like just a second or two to like adjust your eyes, because like most of the palette is like this green orange, to the point that that's like the name of the aliens that you're taking down. They're like the green orange. Like, just everything in the game is like so mysterious, so just, I don't know. I'm just absolutely in love. Again, if you're familiar with shmups and if you're familiar with the game, you certainly don't need to hear me gush about it. But I was kind of surprised by how many people. I did a stream of it the other day, which I'll try to put a link to in the episode description here. But like, even talking to Randall and John, like, I thought for sure Randall would have known of this one, and it sounded like he just like was vaguely familiar, but hadn't really like played it or didn't know much about it beforehand. So. Yeah, I kind of thought Zero Ranger was just a game that everybody knew about, and I guess apparently not everybody does, and it is one that everybody needs to know about, because, man, I am in love with this game. So if you happen to pick up the bundle for Ukraine, which obviously a lot of people have, and just to give a quick shout out to a couple other games that I know we all love over here, like I know A Short Hike was included in the bundle. Trying to think of some other ones. 10S is another game that was included in the bundle. Some that I'm really looking forward to checking out that I've never played before are Inmost is a game that I've really, it came out, and I, you know, with games, we talk about it all the time on the podcast, how they come out and then they, you know, there's already a new game out like the next day half the time. So like I was just talking about Ali Ali World on the podcast on an upcoming episode, and it's like Grapple Dog came out the day before or maybe the day after, whatever order. It was like, man, there's just two of my favorite games of the year back to back in, you know, one day after another. It's just crazy the pace at which games are coming out these days. So yeah, even a game like Inmost that I was really looking forward to and had kind of forgotten about, now it's in this bundle. Now I own it. I still will. Again, it's like even more incentive to want to pick these games up on Switch or, you know, whatever your platform of choice is. But yeah, Kingdom 2 Crowns is in the bundle. One of my all time favorite games. There's like close to 1,000 games. I think some of those are tabletop games as well. But there's still close to like 600 actual like video games and whatnot on top of a multitude of other things. So just wanted to give a quick shout out to the folks. I don't think it's actually the folks at itch.io putting this one together, but even still, just having a platform where the indie game community can come together and raise, you know, again, there's still almost a week left for this bundle sales to go on. So, I mean, they might end up raising even more than, you know, they did 8 million for the bundle for racial justice and equality. So who knows where this one will end up, but it's just so awesome to see the community coming together for a good cause. And on top of that, we all get to play a bunch of cool games together. And on top of that, again, it's like kind of gives me like an incentive to like, oh, these are the games I want to jump into first, because these developers are you know, they're doing what they can to contribute, because it does feel pretty helpless at times. Or, as a single individual, you're like, man, I can't do much, but hey, I can contribute to this bundle and, you know, help spread the word. So, yeah, that's about all I can do there. And I've probably rambled on long enough here at this point. So why don't we get into the regular chit chat? And again, they're probably, by the time this episode comes out, there's still time to grab that bundle. So if you haven't grabbed it, definitely do so. And I'll have a link to that in the episode description as well. And yeah, until next week, we will catch y'all then, and take care.
So I wanted to bring, because like this, I just like bringing up little topics before, like when I was setting up, like before I was setting up today, I was just on this computer and like in the closet, and I had one of the more unnerving like spam calls I've ever had on my phone. Like I've been answering it for like pharmacy stuff and updates and like, but like I still try to screen them. And one of the ways that I do that is I answer if I don't recognize the number, and then I put it on mute, because you can tell if it's like an automated thing, like it'll just be dead air. There won't even be like background static. So like, and then that usually doesn't even trigger the thing, and it hangs up in like a second or two.
Really?
So yeah, like they're audio based. So like if it goes to your voicemail, that's why it starts like 10 seconds into the automated thing, because your voicemail triggers the start of it.
That's a good trick good trick, I guess, on their end, on the devious side of things, but a good trick to know on your end.
And then like if I hear background noise, then I can easily unmute it, or like just wait for someone else to say like they're like at, or say hello first anyway.
Right.
So I got a phone call, and it didn't even say anything underneath the number, like not even like spam likely or anything. Like it was just blank. And I was like, all right, let's see where this goes. And I answered it, put it on mute. And then like I hear what sounds like a mechanical keyboard, but like more thuddy or rounded of a sound. And like I just hear like... And then, like it cuts off, like after like a little bit more of like just tapping.
Okay, what was the sound you were doing? Was that like a machine sound?
I mean, that was like the tapping of it, and then a voice over like the tapping.
So it was a voice. It wasn't.
It was a human voice, but it was a voice.
Because you kind of sounded like you were maybe trying to imitate like a 56K modem, like booting up or something like that.
No,
he was trying to determine by your voice how big of a saw he needed to bring over.
Yeah. But it was definitely a like deep voice, and it was like, but it wasn't attempting to make a word. It was just doing like some like auto like sound that you make, or groan that you make. And I was like, I don't like this at all.
This
is unenjoyable. And then I checked up the like area code afterwards, and it's an like even an unincorporated like toll free. Like it's not even attached to anything. So I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Called you from the fucking Red Room in Twin Peaks or whatever.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh God, yeah, I need to play that backwards, and it's just, I don't know what word is it.
It's just like, hey John, you need to your car insurance situation's about to expire. Your warranty extension's ready for you. God. I'm so glad. I just started. We recently on our family plan, we switched to T-Mobile, and I just now with T-Mobile. I kind of hate T-Mobile for the most part, but it even as like the service has been pretty terrible on the phone. But it does show that scam likely, which I never used to get before. Like I would just see a lot of like area, you know, I just get calls that kind of look like they're from Chicago. So I'm like, oh, okay, this looks somewhat familiar. And especially when you're like applying for jobs and shit, you got to be like, oh, it might be. Or when I had all those doctor's appointments, oh, it could be. You got to answer fucking everything. So It's yeah.
Y'all are braver than me. I let every shit go to voicemail.
I mostly do these days.
It's only like recently because I've been like going to the dentist. I'm going to the dentist tomorrow morning and I'm just not sure if they're going to be doing my crown or they don't really communicate. They're just like, all right, this is your next day. You're coming in. I'm like, all right, I'm too.
Tina had to go to the dentist today. She needs a root canal.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do it right the first time.
Oh, son of a. Oh, yeah, no. I don't like hearing that. I don't like that.
Sorry.
No.
I mean, like, the actual root canal is fine. Man, I am more irritated by scheduling. That is the thing that I dread more than the actual dental procedure.
And the fact that, like, you have to go back and do a thing again that, like, theoretically should be the thing that's already taken care of, you know? Yeah. Again, not that you want to ever take for granted that, like, you know, I've learned the hard way that, like, okay, you can't just be like, I'm getting an easy routine surgery and it goes no problem. But still, it's like, man, you expect to be on one side of the coin when you're done with this operation or whatever, and then it's the exact opposite.
Month and a half, 2 months, something like that.
Okay, so it's not like it's been, like,
not years or anything like that, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Still though, that sucks because I would I've never had one, thankfully, but they sound like they're painful.
Yeah, just need a lot of numbing and a lot of pain juice and laughing gas and whatever. I will for sure drive her, so that will not be a concern.
Yeah,
yeah,
we will figure that out.
Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah. Do you know when she'll get that retaken care of?
No, she had to like twist arms just to get it scheduled, actually. So,
Jesus.
Yeah. Let alone to get something better than just acetaminophen over the counter shit in the meantime to take care of it, right? All of it, she had to like super advocate and like take people to the floor just to like, hey,
like this is what's going on. Emergency. You know? Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. That's sort of related, but sort of not. But my mom sort of got fired by her dermatologist recently. Like, her dermatologist, like, wouldn't get back to her about this, like, scheduling appointment. Like, particularly, like, the receptionist or whoever, you know, whoever's working the scheduling and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, eventually, like, they finally called my mom back and they were just like, yeah, the doctor's just not going to see you.
What?
And like, this is like, I'm talking about like, this is who I went to as a kid.
Ooh.
And my mom has like, my mom's never really liked her and I didn't really either, but she was just like, she just, you know, she was just our doctor and we just kept going, you know, we just kept going to see her, like didn't hate her or anything, but she was just like a good enough doc. You didn't have like a connection with her or anything, through but osmosis. It was just the dermatologist.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were just like, no, we're just not bringing you back. Like, they didn't flat out say it, but they kind of were just
they
like,
didn't need
we'll,
to.
We'll get back to you or something. And like, just kind of like, my mom had it. But then the new doctor like was super thorough and like found a little like melanoma thing or something. And then they took care of that. So I'm like, hey, maybe it was a good thing.
Yeah.
So
Jesus.
But how can that even happen? Like, and my mom said, like, I know how my mom is. Like, I know my mom's demeanor. Like, if she's mad and going off on someone in her way, she's not like ripping someone to a new asshole to tell them like how much of a piece of shit they are. She's just like telling them how much of a struggle she's gone through in her situation, you know, like trying to get them to relate. Like, that's how she might be like going like, don't you understand or something like that. But she's not going to be like a terrible person to them, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh.
One of Lauren's friends, like her doctor, and because like she had like pretty like marketplace insurance and like had to like find someplace that actually took it, like it was like the only convenient doctor that she had, and like he's got dementia and like forgot prescriptions, and he was like, I never prescribed you that.
He's still an active doctor with
the- I was just gonna say, I thought you meant like he had to retire.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's like, it was just like, okay, cool, I need to find someone else to be my doctor because this person cannot be it, but also I need to find someone that takes my insurance.
That
so it might be
a
like
struggle.
Seven neighborhoods away in Chicago, which is a fucking nightmare.
If it's anything similar to what I had when I was on the marketplace insurance, it's tough to find a doctor, let alone a good one.
Yeah. God.
America.
Yeah. What a great fucking country.
Yes, sir. Like, that's another reason I was kind of sweating the new job a little, or like looking forward to like, okay, cool, I got my, because right now I'm just uninsured, which I was like, I was going to roll, like, because the guys at my old job, Saul and Gus were like, hey, if you need to like have us put you on the books to like to get you on the insurance here and you just pay us back to pay for your insurance coverage, we can do that.
That's nice.
And I was like, yeah, huge, like kind of unbelievable to be honest, like to have that safety net or whatever, to fall back on, and even just to, even have that offer.
Yeah.
Shoot, I forgot what I was going to say now.
Marketplace insurance or you're uninsured.
Oh, yeah. Uninsured at the moment. And then I knew like after I finished like the pain program and they kind of told me like, hey, you know, just keep up all these exercises and whatnot. I'm like, I know I'm not going to go to any appointments in January for sure. So like, why am I going to pay $500 to literally know for a fact that I'm not going to use it? It's just like if I have to, I'll just go to the emergency room and they'll have to take me. I don't think they can like turn you away if you're like, hey, I
but then you get up, but it's you're the bill that you have to foot
right.
uninsured.
Then I got to figure that out.
Which is...
Yeah, but thankfully, again, like not to take advantage of my situation, but being that I am unemployed, I have thankfully been able to like get either like 90 or 100% coverage on all my medical stuff.
Right,
that's good.
By just applying for the financial aid through the hospital or whatever.
Yeah,
so. That's kind of like my backup. Like that's at least in my mind. I'm just like, if fucking shit hits the fan and something, you know, is really seriously wrong with me and I gotta, you know, have an emergency or something, I'm not like gonna be, you know, totally out of luck.
Right. Yeah.
But oh man, what else has been new? I feel like it's been a while since we've had the whole crew.
Yeah.
Been a while since the John's been with us here.
Yeah, I know. Good Lord. It's been a beginning of this year, all right.
I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. Dude, you've been swamped. Always swamped, dude. You're like, as soon as you say, like, I'm out of the weeds, like, you're already in the cattails, man.
Yeah, it's like, it's a rumble strip. Like, there's just, I get over one, and I'm like, yep, there's the next.
It just stinks. I mean, at least, again, like you said, you have the perks of working from home and, you know.
Playing that's another video thing. Games in my downtime, which is nice.
Yeah, that's another thing with the job, too. I was just like, you know, it was going to be partially remote, partially in office. You know, I was like, I really do want to try to find something remote, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the bummer of Tina's opportunity now is she's got to be in the office. It was originally 4 days a week, and that she twisted their arm to get it down to three. But there's been a lot of drama around all of that, too. But
there always is.
Yeah.
But good for Tina for being like, hey, no.
Oh, yeah.
This makes more sense. Or whatever, you know, whatever she's advocating for, I'm sure it makes total sense.
100% will advocate for herself. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Writing my notes because I never get a chance to do this sort of thing anymore.
I'm doing Quirtle.
How's your work situation going, Randall? Is it getting any... Is it lightening up at all?
Not yet, but there is light at the end of the tunnel now. I talked
some
to
hirees.
My boss, and I've been like pounding them about like it's been 3 months since I've been hired for this new job, and y'all still haven't hired my replacement, and I'm just done doing two jobs. It's been a quarter of a year, and I have pressures to learn this new job. Turns out the people that hired me want to see me perform the job full time.
Yes.
Turns out.
Yes.
So I can't keep doing this and killing myself and working nights and shit for no extra money. So.
Right.
Yeah. Finally, my boss is sending like emails to my previous boss and be like, no, this ends now. And he let me put up an out of office reply that says like, hey, if you're requesting management analyst stuff, it ain't me. Talk to this group over here. So
nice. Yeah. Good for you as well, going into Tina mode and advocating,
yes.
Man.
Yes, yes.
I love it.
Yes. Turns out you have to look out for your own sanity at some point, too.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I think most of the time, the people that are pushing you to the breaking point or whatever, most of the time, they probably just don't even realize how much shit you're doing. Like, they're just out of touch. 100%. You know? Holy shit, you're doing all of that right now? Oh, man, let's try to figure out a plan. Like, oh, shit, you know, they're just out of touch more than anything.
They just know that things are getting done, so they don't care otherwise.
Exactly. It's not affecting anything in their day-to-day or anything in their bottom line. So it's like, and if anything, it's helping their bottom line.
Yes.
There's one less, you know, salaried person that we're paying.
Yes.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. So but that yeah,
hopefully that light. Yeah, hopefully you guys hire somebody new soon.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Thankfully, yeah. I'm not part of that process, and I don't want to be at this point.
That's good, yeah. Yeah, just hands off. Because at that point, you might just, like, hire somebody out of frustration, just, like, you know, anybody that seems halfway decent, just, like, let's just get somebody in here, and then
the problem is I have disappointed. To help train them.
That's true, yeah. That's true. But, man, I've been duped before by, I love the kid, but, when I interviewed him, I was like, dude, this kid is going to be the greatest employee of all time. Just pretty barely scraping by. And I guarantee, like, he sounds like he's super successful now. Like, he was just like, hey, this is my job while I'm in school and making a few extra bucks. Like, he just didn't give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
But in that interview, I was like, man, this kid's got fucking, he's got big plans, man. And yeah, he was pretty mediocre to sub.
Kevin hired
to subpar.
Hell yeah, that's my boy. Bare minimum.
Bare minimum, baby. Skate by.
And he is, like, truly a nice guy. Like, he'll like, still text me every now and then, like, you know, just be, hey, man, hope you're doing good, Kev.
Yeah.
Like, probably, like, you know, twice a year or something, but still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool kid. I'm excited to chat some games, which, by the way, if we like, you know, if we go long on the first one or something, like, we don't have to knock out this double today. I just figured, like, Kevin Cole one for next week and then the interview, but we don't technically have any I'm like, true PP apps in the can.
So I didn't remember the Kevin Cole thing. So I'm like, man, Kevin is being really laid back for not having any episodes in the can. Now I know. He had his Kevin Cole episodes in his back pocket.
I put yours in front of, which I was editing when I edited the episode that you and I did, the one that we recorded like a couple days after the Kevin Cole. Like, I brought up a couple things that Kevin Cole and I talked about, but I didn't even know for sure if I was going to swap the order at the time. But the way that I worded it, I was like, oh, man, it's like I fucking planned it, man. I was so pumped. It was just like, oh, yeah, and I think we talked about Go Go Pogo Girl a little bit. It might have even just been during a Save It for the Cast thing. And then I was like, oh, and Kevin Cole and I talk about it next week or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, that just worked out pretty nicely.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was telling John before you jumped on, I just finished editing that yesterday morning, but I sent it to him today, and I was like, because he told me when we were talking that he edits out, like, all the mouth sounds, like the clicking tongue sounds.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I just sent him a big tongue emoji, and I was like, hey, just, you know, I was like, I don't edit out all the mouth sounds. I do my best, but, you know, just be prepared
to hear a little bit great. Of
clicking. But
you do a great job. You are an audio engineer, Kevin.
I appreciate it. What blows my mind is I still, to this day, every time I've edited, and I'm going to jinx it now, so let me knock on some wood.
To this day.
But when I edit, I just edit, like, on the iMac speakers. Like, I don't use headphones.
Yeah.
I just, like, edit. Because I'm like, if it sounds good coming out of these, man, it's going to sound good coming out of anything, pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
I need to finish this because I'm
I was wondering why you're being so, I keep thinking you're frozen over there, John, but this is perfect because I wanted to have that little Wordle conversation. So it just is like a warm up thing.
I know I'm doing
Wordle warm up.
Have you guys played Quirtle?
No.
Is that the 4x4 one or whatever? Or is it the math one?
You're doing four Wordles simultaneously.
Well, that's going to work. Oh, wait, simultaneously? Or?
Yep.
Save it.
So all the, I mean, I'm doing it now. I need to crash and burn so that I can.
That's perfect for the ultimate tic-tac-toe. It's perfect. It's perfect. I really want to play some ultimate tic-tac-toe with you guys, too. So we'll get into that. I've been up since like 5:30 this morning, by the way. So I'm drinking some gin and coffee. I did a super morning stream of Ali Ali World.
Yeah.
I've just been ripping through that game. I'll talk about it later, but yeah, the stream was really fun. I'll save some of it. Yeah, it was just because I want to have that excitement when I'm talking about it.
Yes.
But it was that was one of the more fun streams I've done in a while.
Awesome.
As was the Yinglet stream I did the other night. I don't think I'm going to talk about Yinglet, so I can talk about that real quick. Niflis came into the stream, the developer who's like the developer of Knit as well.
Oh, cool.
Which was really funny. Like, he was like hanging in the chat, and they're not Niflis on Twitch. Like, it was just like Dr. Onklo or something. It was just some weird like name, and they kept like having all these weird, like, I was like, there was one point where I thought I had maybe switched the language settings because I kept seeing what I thought was German, and they're like, oh, it's Dutch, it's based on all the subway systems in Copenhagen. And I was like, okay, nice. And I was like, kept playing a little more, and then they go, oh yeah, this is based off the aquarium in this city. I'm like, oh, sweet, yeah, cool. And then they were like, oh yeah. And when I developed the game, like, I was like, wait, you're Niflis? And then like everyone, because like the developer for Renane was hanging out in that stream as well, and they were like, wait, what? And everybody just started like freaking out for a sec. Dylan was hanging out as well. It was a really fun stream. Like, it ended up going pretty well for a game that's like a really visually like stunning game. Like, I didn't think it was going to work that well on a stream. I kind of fired it up, going like, let's see what happens. And played through the whole game. I actually ended up beating it. It's the next game I got to add to my Twitter thread, baby.
Man.
Although awesome. it unlocks like an inverse mirror mode after that, where it's like, all, you know, like Mario Kart mirror mode kind of. But it doesn't just, it inverts the whole level in a way where it like actually inverts gravity, but not in a way where gravity is like going in the opposite direction. It just feels like it is. I don't know how to explain it. But like, okay. He was like, it's not that noticeable on the first level, but like once you get further into the game, you're like, oh, holy shit. Cause yeah, it wasn't just like, oh, down is up is down. It was like the pull of gravity was just different. It was really interesting. That game is so, I like the whole time I was like, I can't believe this game is $5. Like, it's sickening to me.
It's the indie market these days, I suppose.
I know. And not to mention, like, so when you boot it up on Steam, at least it like lets you pick. It says like, hey, do you want to play the like Steam full version, or do you want to play the like 2013 Game Jam version? I'm like, what the fuck? This has been in the works for that long. I mean, I'm sure they, you know, did other things in the meantime and whatever, but
9 years.
Just fucking crazy. Like, they were talking about how they wrote like all kinds of code for like the music in the game, because it's all like kind of interactive, like kind of like how Ape Out is or whatever. Reactive to what's happening in the game, and all the coding for, and like, and yeah, they were even like, yeah, the level design was really tricky because you had to like make sure they worked in this inverse gravity flipped mode. It was just like, what the fuck, man? This game, for a game that like when you're playing it, you're just like, oh, it's kind of like stress-free electroplankton, and then it actually does get pretty hard at the end. But yeah, it was awesome. That was a really fun stream.
That's cool.
I played that after, cause I played that Infernax game, that game that just came out that kind of looks like Castlevania-y.
Yeah.
Just came what out era? On Valentine's Day, like NES question. Castlevania, but it's like widescreen. Like, it's not going for the full NES look, but it definitely,
I think that's sweet
NES.
Though. I kind of love that.
I love it. Yeah. Trend. I love when it's like lean into the aesthetic, but just like, give me that extra real estate. There are plenty of games that just stick 4x3 that I love, but if it makes sense for the game, do it. I'm really pumped. There's this game called Tempest Bound coming out that has this like Game Boy aesthetic that you play as like, I don't know if it's like an owl or a bird or something, but it's just like a really pretty 2D platformer, but they just like announced that they're moving out of widescreen, or moving out of 4x3 to go widescreen or full frame or whatever. I was like, yes. Do it. This game is already pretty enough. Just fill the whole screen.
Man, there's so many like homebrews in the Game Boy community popping up now too. This like
it's
a
out
whole
of control,
thing.
Man.
Yeah,
you could, again. It's like a thing where you could just say this. Like, you, if you wanted to just keep your gaming hobby to a minimum, you could just say, not necessarily a minimum expense, but you could just say, hey, I'm just gonna play these homebrew games retro style, and that's all I'm gonna play.
I know, you totally could
plug into this community, and
yeah, you don't have to care what like the AAA industry is doing at all necessarily, and still like get new games all the time.
Yeah, it's wild, man.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I have my Retro Bowl notes completed now. I feel good about this.
Nice. Do anybody need like a bathroom run before we start ep one or anything?
I need to get
or?
This fucking word. I'm on one last guest.
Take your time. I actually kind of have to pee, so
yeah, go ahead.
I'll get more juice.
I'm livid.
I'll finish off my beer. I have like just a tiny bit of beer here, and then switch into that coffee and gin, baby. What are you drinking over there? Some vino?
Got some very old, like, plum wine. that we got from Jungbu.
I love plum wine. Yeah. It's so it's a little sweet, but it's so good.
It's very sweet. It's a lot sweet. I added it to like some spritzer, just some like, I need something else.
Little Randall style.
Mix and match,
baby. If you just had a little kombucha in there, you'd be good to go.
That's right.
We got a clap.
Oh, yeah, good call. Speaking of, I think I mentioned this to Randall, but the first episode I did with Kevin Cole, we forgot to clap.
Yeah.
A fucking joke, dude. The two people that, well, he literally records podcasts and edits them for a living.